Okay, let's begin. First of all, the learning today is sponsored for Refuah Shleima for Sara Bas Tzipora. So all of our learning this morning and the shiur tonight will all be hopefully for a speedy Refuah Shleima for her. Okay, what I'd like to do each day in Mirtz Hashem is to do a classic sugya. I think most days we'll do a one-day sugya. And I would really like you to be able to leave each day having the classic makoros, the classic sugya down, and you'll be able to one day yourself give a chabura, give a topic on each of these major shas topics. So let's begin. Today we'll talk about the Shomea Ka'onim. So the Navi tells us that Yoshio HaMelech, when he became king, so Klal Yisrael and the state of religiosity was less than what would be desired. And we're told that one of the first things that Yoshiyahu did is he set on to beautify the Beis HaMikdash and to bring Berek HaBayis, to strengthen the Beis HaMikdash. So in part of the process of clearing out and cleaning and updating and beautifying the Beis HaMikdash, we're told that they found a Torah scroll. And it's strange to read the psukim here, how, wow, a Torah scroll, they were excited, they took this, they gave the Torah and they started to read it in front of the king. And Shafan the Sofer is reading the Torah scroll and reading from the Parshios. And the Chazal tells every time they open up the Parsha, it opened up to the Tochacha. And Yoshio understood this to be Musar against him and against Klal Yisrael. And in response to what was read to him, so Yoshio ushered in a tremendous tshuva movement, a process of tshuva for Klal Yisrael. And the Navi speaks very positively about the tshuva that was done for all of Klal Yisrael. We're going to be focusing in on some very, very specific psukim there in the story, where we're told that Shafan the Sofer reads the words of the Sefer Torah to the king. And yet, we're told at the end of the perek that, and behold, the words that the king had read had inspired him to initiate this process of tshuva. So the question that the Radak addresses is, why does it say that the king had read the psukim if in the text of the Nach we don't find the king reading the psukim? Shafan the Sofer reads the Torah to Yoshio. But Yoshio himself, there's no indication in the text that he read it. And yet the text says, the psukim that Yoshio had read. But in the narrative, meaning that's at the end of the story, the summary tells us that Yoshio had read, the psukim that Yoshio had read. But in the actual narrative of the Nach, we don't find Yoshio reading it. We find that he listens as Shafan reads it to him. So the Radak explains al pif shat. And the Radak says, what does it mean? The psukim that Yoshio had read, behold, he didn't read them. So says the Radak, that when you're mitzav is someone to do something, so then it's ki'ilu you did it, right? The lashon here of the Radak. Tzivul asher kara melech Yehuda, the psukim asher kara melech Yehuda. So says the Radak, tzivul karam, ki'ilu karam. Since you commanded it to be read, so it's Kilu, you read it yourself, even though he didn't really read it. And he brings a raya. Like, for instance, it says that Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Shlomo HaMelech didn't put on his dungarees and go out and build the Beis HaMikdash. He didn't pick up the rocks himself. So why does it say that Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash? Because he was the one who initiated the process. He commanded it to be built, so he gets the credit for doing it, even though he didn't physically do it. So the Radak says that's the pashut shot in the psukim. The reason why it says that Yoshio read the Torah was because he commanded it to be read. So he gets the credit for having done it. That's the pshat. But the Radak says that that's not how Chazal interpret the pasuk. Chazal interpret the pasuk that he actually read it. Now what do you mean he actually read it? He didn't read it. That's true. But there is a mechanism in halacha called Shomea Ka'onim. And the Gemara tells us about this in the Gemara in Sukkah, where the Gemara tells us it's going through the process of how to read Hallel. And it tells us that there are certain parts that were read responsively. So the Chazan says, Baruch Haba, and in response, the crowd says, B'Shem Hashem. The crowd never said Baruch Haba. and yet somehow the crowd is getting is Mekayim having read all of Halo. How are they Mekayim having read all of Halo? We do this ourselves, and people have different minhagim. When we say Hodu Hashem Kitov Kili Lam Chasto, and then the crowd says, then the Chazan says Yomar Na'isol. So some people are masbid to read that quickly. Yomar Na'isol, they read it themselves. But the pashtus is that one person says, the Chazan says Yomar, and then the crowd just says Hodu Hashem Kitov Kili Lam Chasto. How are we Yotzei Halel? You didn't say those words Yomar. So from here, the Gemara learns that we have a din called Shomei Ka'ona, that when you hear something and you're listening in order to be Yotzei, so it's as if you were Ona. Shomei Ka'ona, Vanisa Vamarta. Ona means that it's as if you said it. It's as if you said it yourself. That's what the Gemara tells us here in Sukkah, quoting our story from Malachim Beis. V'chi Yoshio Karan v'lo Shafan Karan. Yoshio didn't read it, Shafan read it. D'chsiv, as it says, V'yikra'u Shafan. Ela Mikan l'Shomei Ka'ona. From here we learn the principle of Shomei Ka'ona. Now just to clarify what this principle is, that was the source, the marker for Shomei Ka'ona. Just to clarify what exactly it is, even though I just told you, it's when I say and you respond, the Chasam Sofer gives us a nice background and clarifies a couple of different concepts that we might confuse with each other. Says the Chasam Sofer, there is something called Shlichus. You're able to appoint an agent or a Shliach to do something for you. So says the Chasam Sofer that Shlichus has limitations. Shlichus does not apply by a mitzvah shebegufo. So when there's something that I don't physically need to do with my body, I just need to get credit for the maisa to be done. So the examples that he brings are, for instance, Mila. He says that the baby just needs to be mahul. There's a discussion about whether the act of cutting is itself a mitzvah, or is it completely totsa-oriented, it's result-oriented, the baby just needs to be circumcised, it's not a mitzvah in the actual act of circumcision. But putting that aside, if I have a baby boy, my baby needs a circumcision. And therefore, I can appoint a shliach to do it for me. Now, it wouldn't, you know, my wife wouldn't appreciate it, but technically, I don't have to wake up for the 6 o'clock minyan. I can sleep until 8 o'clock. We'll have a bris at 6 o'clock. I appointed a shliach to do the bris for me. And at 8:15, when I roll out of bed, I'll call the shliach, I'll check my WhatsApp, and it'll say on my WhatsApp, the moel says, by the way, I did it, everything went well, the mitzvah is done. That's totally fine. For shlichus, I don't need to be there. The shliach does the mitzvah for me. I don't need to be there. I could be on the other side of the world. But by a mitzvah shebegufo, shlichus doesn't work. Mitzvah shebegufo, for instance, putting on tefillin. I need to put on tefillin. It would be very, very nice. I could stay in bed until 8:15. I appoint the shliach to go to the 6:30 minyan. He puts on tefillin on his own arm. He has in kavana, I'm doing this for Ari Leibowitz. And I'm yotzei. Whenever it comes to a mitzvah shebegufo, you can't have a shliach. So, tefillin, lulav, I can't have a shliach take a lulav for me and send me a text message that I was yotzei the mitzvah because he did the mitzvah for me. It doesn't work that way. That's what the Chasam Sofer tells us. Shlichus works by mitzvos where the action just needs to be done, and it's not a mitzvah shebegufo, but shlichus does not work by a mitzvah shebegufo. There is an in-between category, and that's Shomei Ka'ona. Shomei Ka'ona is something that I need to do, for instance, and we're talking about mitzvos shebed with dibur. So for instance, Kriya Shema. I have a mitzvah to say Kriya Shema every day. I can't stay in bed and have a shliach say Kriya Shema for me. However, there is a quasi-form of shlichus that I'm able to take advantage of. And that's called Shomei Ka'ona. For Shomei Ka'ona, I need to be on location. But I don't actually have to say the words myself. If Meir is saying Kriya Shema, I can sit there. And I can be Yotzei. If I hear him saying Kriya Shema, I can be Yotzei with his Amira. Why am I saying it's in the middle somewhere? Because it is something that's incumbent upon me. I need to say Kriya Shema with my own lips. Like tefillin. But tefillin is not nitan l'shlichus at all. Even if I'm there, Meir can't put on tefillin for me. I have to put on tefillin. This works through agency, through shlichus, quasi-shlichus, but I need to be on location. So if Meir is saying Kriya Shema and I'm listening, I can be Yotzei with the Kriya Shema that Meir says if I hear him and I have kavana to be Yotzei with him. So we have certain things like tefillin, which are not nitan l'shlichus at all. Certain things like bris milah, which are totally nitan to shlichus, and I don't even have to be on location. And then we have this middle category called shomei ka'ona. These are mitzvos of dibur. Mitzvos of dibur, someone can discharge for me my obligation, but I need to be there and to hear it. Now they're going to be shilos. Can I do it on the phone? Do I need to physically be there? Or is it enough if I'm on the phone, can I hear it and be yotze with shomea ka'ona? Now this is going to start raising the question of, well, do we need the actual voice? Because we know that a phone is not actually my voice. When I speak into a phone, so I don't know exactly how the science works, but the phone is able to reproduce a generated sound that sounds like my voice. It's not actually my voice traveling through the phone lines. It's able to break down the sound, hear the sound. It's able to reproduce it. And there's going to be a difference between, let's say, a megaphone, which is really just amplifying my voice, and a microphone, which is sending to the amplifier or to the speaker a a generated version of my voice. So that's going to be a question when it comes to these halachos. We're not going to get into that right now. But that's the role of Shomea Ka'ona. So for Shomea Ka'ona to work, I need to be on location. I need to hear you speak. And I need to then have Kavanah to be Yotze. The mechanism of how Shomea Ka'ona works, what's the lumdus of Shomea Ka'ona, so manifests itself in a very, very famous machlokas, a famous discussion in the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara here is talking about someone who comes into shul late. And he comes into mincha late, he wants to start Shmona Esrei. So the Gemara has two opinions. You have to do a little bit of a cheshbin. How far into Shmona Esrei are they? And will you be able to start your own private Shmona Esrei and finish before they get up to Kedusha or before they get up to Modim? Two different opinions in the Gemara. So let's assume, for simplicity's sake, for ourselves right now, we'll assume that the Shita of Kedusha. So if I come into Shul late and I want to start davening, what should I do? Should I wait until the Shliach Tzibur starts and daven along with him and answer Kedusha? Or should I quickly try to daven and finish before he gets up to Kedusha? Those are the options. The Gemara says that if I'm going to start my Shmona Esrei, I come in 5 minutes late, everyone else is up to Modim already in their private Shmona Esreis, I'm going to start my Shmona Esrei, I'm not going to be finished in time to catch Kedusha. So the Gemara says I shouldn't start Shmona Esrei in that situation. Okay. Then the Gemara says, but everyone agrees that if you started your Shmona Esrei, maybe you shouldn't have, but you started your Shmona Esrei, and the Tzibur gets up to Kedusha, what should you do in that situation? For sure you shouldn't stop your Shmona Esrei and answer. You are allowed to start with the Shliach Tzibur, daven with him mila b'mila, and then when you get up to Kedusha, you can answer, because that's what you're up to. But are you able to stop your Shmona Esrei to answer Kedusha? The Gemara says that you're not allowed to do. Mifsak lo paskinan. What's the lashon here? Good. Lo mafsakinan. We're not mafsik in our Shmona Esrei in order to answer Kedusha. That's what the Gemara tells us. So what should you do in that situation? So Rashi, back in Sukkah, comments from the sugya that we saw by Shomea Ka'ona, Rashi says over there, if you're mispal b'tzibor, the shliach tzibor omer kadosh o yeshmei rabba, what should you do? Yishtaku b'tfilosim v'yishmu b'kavana v'harei hein ke'onim. Says Rashi that if they're up to Kedusha, you're davening your private Shmona Esrei. Maybe you're just davening longer. And they're up to Kedusha, so everybody knows. What do? You pause, you listen, and you yotze as if you said it. That's what Rashi tells us to do. Comes along Tosfos, and Tosfos says that that is not the right thing to do. Why? Tosfos says, if you really are able to do that, you could just stop your Shmona Esrei, listen, and be yotze, why would the Gemara tell me that I can't start davening unless I can be finished before they get up to Kedusha? Why should that be? Why can't I start davening? And if the Tzibur gets up to Kedusha, I'll just be quiet, like Rashi suggested to do. Rashi, by the way, is quoting from the Gaonim. That was apparently the minhag. The Gaonim's practice, that's what they taught, was that if you're in your Shmona Esrei and they get up to Kedusha, you just sit there quietly, you listen, and you yotze. But if that really works, why does the Gemara tell me, don't start your Shmona Esrei unless you can be finished before Kedusha? Why not? I'll just be quiet during Kedusha, and I'll be yotze. So Tosfos answers and says, maybe it's not such a good question, because maybe it's true, it works to be quiet and to be yotze, but it's still better to say it yourself. It's better to vocalize it yourself. And therefore, that's why the Gemara advises us that if you're not going to be up to Kedusha, if you're not going to finish your Shemoneh Esrei in time for Kedusha, you shouldn't start Shemoneh Esrei, and you should wait until the Shliach Tzibur starts and daven along with him. So it's not a bam kasha. But Tosfos, and this is Tosfos in Brachos and Tosfos in Sukkah, Tosfos is of the opinion, though, and Tosfos quotes from Rabbeinu Tam in the Ri, that they didn't like Rashi's practice. Rashi's suggestion from the Gaonim, that if you're in your own private Shemoneh Esrei and the Tzibur gets up to Kedusha, you should be quiet and listen and be Yotze. You shouldn't do that. Why? Tosfos says, Kushomea Keona Habe Hapsaka Im Shosek. That if you're quiet and you listen, it's like you were mafsik. It's like you interrupted in the middle of your Shemoneh Esrei. So what we have here is a machlokas between Rashi and his grandchildren. Rashi versus Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Tam's nephew, the Ri, arguing about what you should do when you're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei and the Tzibur gets up to Kedusha. According to Rashi, you should be quiet, listen, and through that you'll be Yotze Kedusha. According to Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, you should not be quiet and you should keep davening. Because if you're quiet, you're going to create a hefsek in your Shemoneh Esrei. L'halacha, the Shulchan Aruch quotes like Rashi, and that's most of our practices, what we do. That's the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch. And even Tosfos itself records that Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, even though they disagreed with Rashi, but they still said halacha l'maisa to follow Rashi. Gadol aminok. And it's a nice sign of humility here by Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, that even though they disagreed with Rashi, when it came down to halacha l'maisa, since there was a practice for many, many years to do it the way Rashi said, so they didn't want to argue with Rashi halacha l'maisa. The question is, what is the machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri? What is the yesod hamachlokas? What are they arguing over? So there are those who suggest...
Well, Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri would hold up as if you physically set yourself.
Excellent, right, very good. So the standard explanation of the Achronim, the Kilos Yaakov says like this, this is the standard explanation in this machlokes, is we have a machlokes of how, we'll say it in a cute way and then we'll say it out, how ki is ki when we say shomea ki'ona. It says shomea is ki'ona. So that chof hadimion. So how strong of a statement is that? That shomea is ki'ona. Maybe Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam, the rehold, that Shomea is mamish keona. That Shomea means that hearing it is if you actually vocalized it yourself. And if you would take such an extreme interpretation of Shomea keona, it means that when I am quiet and I listen to Kedusha, it's as if I'm actually saying Kedusha to the degree that I'm speaking in the middle of my Shemoneh Esrei. I'm being quiet and listening and I'm having kavanah to be yotze. Well, when you're quiet and you hear someone else speak, and you have kavanah to be yotze, it's as if you enunciated the words yourself. It's as if you vocalized the words yourself. And therefore, you just made a hefsek in the middle of your Shemoneh Esrei. But according to Rashi, Rashi's learning it more like the way we were suggesting originally, that it's a form of shlichus. Which bookbinder are you?
Binyamin.
Binyamin suggested very beautifully, that I like the imagery that he used, a checkbox. I need to be yotze saying Kedusha. When I'm quiet and I hear the Shliach Tzibur saying Kedusha, so I get a check. I'm Yotze. Right, I'll ask you a basic question by Shlichus. When I appoint a Shliach to do the Mila for me, and I'm sleeping in bed, and I sent the Shliach to do Bris Mila on my child for me, it's as if my hand did the cut, or he did the cut, but I'm Yotze. I get a check in the box for being Yotze. I didn't actually do it myself. He did it. But the way Shlichus works is that someone else can do something and I get the credit. So that, l'chora, is the way Rashi is learning. That Shomea Ka'ona is a form of Shlichus. And therefore, when the Shliach Tzibur says Kedusha and I'm quiet, Shomea Ka'ona means that this is a form of Shlichus. And therefore, I get credit for doing it. But it's not that I actually vocalized and verbalized it myself. Right? If I was in the middle of davening Shemoneh Esrei and I appointed a shliach to do bris mila for me, would anyone say, oh, you just were mafsik in the middle of your Shemoneh Esrei, you did a bris mila in the middle of your Shemoneh Esrei because the shliach did it for you? Of course not. I'm just getting credit for the action. It's not like I actually did it. So too, Rashi is learning that Shomeach Ona is a form of shlichus. It could be, and again, the Chassam Sofer is not, the title of the Chassam Sofer's Tshuva wasn't
the multi-forms of shlichus and all their dinim. So it's not a raya. But we're using it just as an idea that the Chassam Sofer put it into the discussion of shlichus. He might have been being mechalik between Shammai Kohen and shlichus. That's why it's not a raya. But Rashi learns that it's a form of shlichus, and therefore I get credit. It's not a hapsek in my Shmoneh Esrei, right? But according to the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, Shammai Kohen is not a form of shlichus. It's much more than that. It's as if I actually said the words myself. I thought that there is perhaps a much simpler explanation of the machlokus of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. You have to look in the words and see if it works in the words. I thought maybe all Rabbeinu Tam was saying is that being quiet in the middle of your Shmoneh Esrei and concentrating on something else is a hefsek in Shmoneh Esrei. I'm not supposed, in the middle of my Shmoneh Esrei, stop davening and think about the football game. Now, I realize that Kedusha is not a football game. But maybe what Rabbeinu Tam meant was being mafsik in the middle of your Shmoneh Esrei and thinking about Kedusha, and if you're really mechaving to Kedusha, so Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh means certain things, and it's talking about the angels, how they go up from level to level. You're thinking about the Shechina, you're thinking about how Kadosh Baruch Hu is Molech. That's not, you're in the middle of Rifa'enu. That's not what Rifa'enu is about. It's a hefsek in the middle of Rifa'enu to start thinking about Ma'aseh Merkava and what Yechezkel saw and what Yeshayahu saw. So maybe that's all Rabbeinu Tam meant, that it's a hefsek because you're thinking about something else in the middle of a bracha of Shmoneh Esrei. So I'm putting that as a side way to suggest, as the Machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, but that's not the classic explanation for sure. The classic explanation in this Machlokas Rashi Rabbeinu Tam is, what is the geder of Shomea Ke'oneh? Is Shomea Ke'oneh getting a check, as Binyamin said? It's being yotzei the mitzvah? Or is Shomea Ke'oneh as if you actually said it yourself? There are many, many nafkamina that are going to emerge based on how you understand Shomea Ke'oneh. I'll give you one which we'll spend a few minutes on because it's important. It's good information to know in general. Another sugya that we'll talk about for a few minutes, it's important to know. And that is the discussion about Birchas HaTorah by Hirhur. There's a machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Gra. Do you have to make a Birchas HaTorah on Hirhur when I think about Torah? Certainly, when we speak Torah, we have to make a bracha of Birchas HaTorah. When you wake up in the morning, you want to say a Dvar Torah to someone. Before you say the Dvar Torah, you have to say Birchas HaTorah first. What about just to think about Torah? Do you also have to make a Birchas HaTorah in that situation? The Shulchan Aruch says you do not. And the Taz comments, because here alav kedibor dami. There's a machlokas. Is here a kedibor dami, or is here alav kedibor dami? The Taz says it's because here alav kedibor dami. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that just thinking about Torah doesn't require a Birchas HaTorah. So if you're on your way to shul, you don't say Birchas HaTorah until you get to shul, and you're driving in the car, you can think about a sugya, you could think about Torah when you're brushing your teeth in the morning, you could think about, unless it's in the bathroom, but you could think about Torah when you're being Mahar Her. You could be Mahar Her, you don't have to make a Birchas HaTorah on that. That's the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. However, the Gra argues, and the Gra says that no, also Hirhur requires a Birchas HaTorah. Why? He quotes the pasuk of V'higisa bo yomon v'layla. The pasuk says about the L'chor, about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, V'higisa bo yomon v'layla. And what's Higisa? He says, Hegyon Libi. It means to be thinking about Talmud Torah. You're supposed to be thinking about Talmud Torah all the time. And therefore he says that if that's included in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, is to be thinking about Talmud Torah, so L'chor, we make a bracha on thinking thoughts of Torah as well. Most poskim, paskin, apipashtus, like the Nistach Hayadam brings down like this, the Nishmas Adam, he quotes that we paskin like the Shulchan Aruch, that you don't have to make a bracha on here, you only have to make a bracha on Divrei Torah. Oh, we're going to get there 1 second. And by the way, I would just add then, that if we really paskin like the Shulchan Aruch, not like the Gra, so it's very important that when a person is learning, to vocalize the words. Besides the fact that it helps you remember much better when you say what you say out loud what you're learning. You don't have to be that annoying guy in the base medrash who's screaming at the top of his lungs and no one else can concentrate because there's one guy yelling at the top of his lungs. But to vocalize the words not only will help you remember, but it might also be, we even say in the bracha, lasok bedivrei Torah, where the Lashon of the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, shnayim shiyoshim v'yesh beinehem divrei Torah. It's the importance to vocalize the words while you're learning. But again, we can get into it. Is this just a discussion? We're not going to get into it, but is this just a question about the bracha? Maybe there's still a heftz of Talmud Torah when you think Talmud Torah. Maybe that's not what the machlokas is about. It's just about the bracha. But that's in terms of, that's the background, which is an important machlokas that you should know about. That's the background, but how does this relate to Shomea Ke'oneh? So the question I would like to ask is, what if I don't speak Divrei Torah, and I'm not thinking about Divrei Torah, but I hear Divrei Torah? I haven't made Birchas HaTorah yet, but I'm walking with Teshua with Avi, and Avi's telling me a Divrei Torah, and I'm hearing the words. If we learn like the Gra, so that's no different than hear her. If I hear Avi saying a Divrei Torah, I'm thinking about what he's saying, I'm listening to his Divrei Torah, l'chore, that's hear her, and I have a chiyuv to make a Birchas HaTorah. So for the Gra, there's nothing to talk about. For sure, I need to make a bracha for hearing Divrei Torah. But what about according to the Shulchan Aruch? When I hear you say a Divrei Torah, do I have a chiyuv to make a Birchas HaTorah on that? This happens sometimes. You wake up, and someone starts talking Torah to you, and you haven't made a bracha yet, so do you have to make a bracha in order to hear Talmud Torah? So if you learn like Rashi, how would you say it? Anyone want to say it out for us? The Halef L'Chashlomo, by the way, Shlomo Kluger suggests this in a tshuva. Go ahead, let's hear.
You wouldn't have to make a Birchas
HaTorah. If you learn like Rashi, because...
It's not like you saying it.
It's not like you saying it. At best, it's just hear her. And the Shulchan Aruch Paschim, you don't have to make a Birchas HaTorah on here. But if you learn...
So it's like you're saying it yourself, so you have to make a Birchas HaTorah.
So maybe if you learn... It's only if you learn like Tosfos that you would have a chiyuv to make a Birchas HaTorah. Remember, hear her, you don't have to make a bracha on. Only speaking. So what about hearing? So if you learn, like Rashi, that you're just yotzei, so I haven't spoken, I don't have to make a Birchas HaTorah. But according to Tosfos, again, this is an extreme formulation, but maybe according to Tosfos, I would have a chiyuv to make a Birchas HaTorah because I heard Torah, and hearing something is as if you're speaking it. I'll just tell you that L'Halacha, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, says that you do have to make a... I think he says you have to make a bracha. He says you're definitely yotzei the mitzvah of Talmud Torah by hearing Torah. If you think about it, you're learning with your chavrus all the time. Sometimes he's reading. What, when I'm not reading... If you hold like Rashi, so then you're not yotzei the mitzvah every time your chavrus is reading. If you're sitting in a shir right now, none of you are speaking. Well, you're not being yotzei Talmud Torah right now. So it's pasha that you're yotzei Talmud Torah, because that's the tzura of learning. The tzura of learning is that sometimes I speak, sometimes you speak. You don't have to make a Birchas HaTorah when you're sitting here in a shir. So that's why I'm suggesting this is a nafka mina, but I'm not so convinced that this is really a nafka mina. I'm not one to argue with Shlomo Kluger, but you're all sitting here in a shir right now. What, you don't need to make a Birchas HaTorah right now if you learn like the Shulchan Aruch? Only lefishitas tosvos, that it's like speaking, you have to make a Birchas HaTorah, but if you hold like Rashi, you don't have to make a Birchas HaTorah because you're only hearing a shir? So again, I thought that the nature, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, is that sometimes you speak and sometimes you listen. And that's not really a discussion, but that's what's brought down. I see a few questions. I'm going to take the questions in 1 second. Let me just add one or two things. It could be a nafka mina, but this makes it even one more step removed. What about listening to a shir on a tape? You download a shir. So what? You're only yotzei the mitzvah of Talmud Torah if you learn like Tosfos, and it's as if you're, or you don't have to make a bracha again. I think for sure the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, you're yotzei even by hearing, because that's the give and take. That's the nature of Talmud Torah. But would you need to make a bracha on hearing a tape? According to Shlomo Kluger, l'chora, you wouldn't. If you don't have to make a bracha when you hear a real person speaking, because it's like hear her, so alachas kama v'kama, if you're listening just to a recording. Another place where this has a very important afkamina, and I'll take the questions, we know that you're not supposed to learn, speak, or even hear Divrei Torah if you're in an area where there's tsoa. You know, there's human feces, if you're in the bathroom, dirty place, you're not supposed to hear Torah. Modern day bathrooms are a little bit of a question, because nowadays in most houses, the cleanest, Rav Shechter, the way Rav Shechter said it once, is, I heard him say, is the cleanest house in the room is the bathroom, because you're constantly cleaning it. How often do you clean the floors in your bedroom? But the bathroom, you're constantly scrubbing it because it gets dirty, you're constantly cleaning it. And as soon as you flush, so it's clean, the room's clean. 20 minutes later, half an hour, there's no smell, it's a perfectly clean room. And we're sanitizing it all the time. We're cleaning it all the time. So Rav Shechter said it's not so pashut that a modern day bathroom has the same halacha as what we speak about in the Gemara when it talks about a makom tsoa. But let's talk about a room that's just a shower room. In Eretz Yisrael, a lot of people have a room where there's a toilet, and then you have a room where there's a shower room. So that's not an area of feces. That's not a problem. The only issue there, let's say when you're showering, is that you're unclothed. So you're not allowed to speak Divrei Torah when you're unclothed, but you're allowed to think Divrei Torah. You're allowed to think about Torah in the shower. Again, if the shower is a separate room, or if you hold that modern day bathrooms, the makom tsoa, in a place where there's human feces, you're not allowed to speak Torah. You're allowed to think Torah. Neither one. But b'mokom erva, when you're just not clothed, you're allowed to think. You're just not allowed to speak Torah. So can you listen to Torah when you're in the shower? Let's talk about a case. I have my chavrusa sits outside the shower. I'm taking a shower, and he's reading the Gemara, and I'm listening. Or you put on an MP3, and you listen to a shir while you're in the shower. Is there anything wrong with that? So maybe if Talmud Torah, if listening is like speaking, maybe I'm not allowed to. But if it's just kehirva, you're allowed to be mahir in Talmud Torah when you're in the shower. Ovadji Yosef has a tshuva in Yavi Omer where he says he thinks you're allowed to listen to, if you're listening to the radio and there's a Devar Torah in the radio while you're in the shower, there's nothing wrong with listening to it while you're in the shower. Because it's just here, at best, and it's not a problem, he says. You're not speaking words of Torah. Okay, some questions.
I think it might be that the issue of Kavona might sort of evolve a lot of difference between whether he were qualified to learn or not. Like, Rashi even says, Yishmu v'kavona. So it might be that if, let's say, your friend is saying Dvar Torah and you're walking to Shul and you're just like listening, okay, he says X, Y, Z, you wouldn't need to say Dvar Torah because you're not really engaged with it. But if you're really, like, sort of focused following along, then you would need to make a Torah. Same thing here. If I'm just sitting here...
Because it's as if you're speaking?
Right. Because I think then if you're really engaged with it, then you might have invoked make on it, even according to Rashi.
Okay, and then what? That's a good diuk. Now, what about during davening?
So during davening, the same thing. You're supposed to be listening and focused on what the Chazal is saying, and that really might be.
But Rashi says you're allowed to be quiet and listen.
Because Rashi says, so my assumption is that Rashi is not as concerned about like a less active hefsek in Shemona Esrei.
So you're saying maybe Rashi also learns that it's like speaking.
Yeah.
But because it's just a question of degrees. That it is like speaking, but it's still not the same thing as actually speaking.
Right.
But they both hold that it's like speaking, but now there's questions. Tosfos holds it's mamish speaking,
right.
and Rashi learns that it's sort of like speaking.
Right. Speaking enough that you can be Mekayim, you can be Mekayim hearing, but it's not speaking enough that you have yourself interrupted your own Shmoneh.
Uh-huh. And therefore, maybe by Talmud Torah, it would count as learning. Okay, that's a nice suggestion. Then we wouldn't put it into the category of, the way that I'm presenting it is in extremes. Tosfos learns it's like speaking, and Rashi learns it's like shlichos. You just yotze, you didn't do anything. You want to try to bring them closer and say that it's just a question of degrees. Okay.
Let's say you're learning either the Kabrus or you're learning a Shir from Gibar and you want to make a Siyam. So would this play in?
Go ahead. What do you mean?
Let's say I go to the Afiyom Mishir. I never read the Gemara.
Oh, yeah. You want to make a Siyam on?
I want to make a Siyam on, let's say, finish the Mitzvah. On the whatever finished the Afiyom Mishir.
Right. So that's why I'm trying. I'm trying. If this is really an Afkamina for Talmud Torah, I'm trying to limit it as much as possible to the question of making a Bracha. Because, like I keep saying, I think the nature of Talmud Torah is that I'm not always speaking. Now, the Shulchan Aruch Rav feels the need to say that when you hear me giving a Daf Yomi Shir, you're Yotze because of Shomei HaKa'ona. So, b'mechilas kvodo, I would argue and say, you don't need to come on to the mechanism of Shomei HaKa'ona. Even without Shomei HaKa'ona, you're Yotze Talmud Torah. Because that's the nature of Talmud Torah. That when I'm speaking, again, I'm not sure if it's the Shulchan Aruch Rav. I remember seeing it someplace. I don't remember who's the one who said it. But I don't think you need to come onto the mechanism necessarily of Shomei. But again, I'm not paskening. I'm just saying, theoretically, I could think one can argue that you don't need to come onto Shomei Ka'one to be Yotze. You're Yotze because that's the tsura of Talmud Torah, is that sometimes you read, sometimes I read, and that's part of Talmud Torah. And therefore, you should be able to make a Siyam because you learned it. Learning it, for the question we're having is Birchas HaTorah required only for speech? But that might not be the same question of, am I being Yotze? Meaning, how are we going to respond to Vigiso Bo Yom HaValayla, the Raya of the Gra? The answer we're going to say is that it's still a Chefz of Talmud Torah when you're thinking about it, but that doesn't mean that you have to make a Bracha. The what's considered Talmud Torah and when you have to make a Bracha is not necessarily related. They may have been, again, whether it's Diraisa or Dirabanan, they might have instituted the Bracha only on certain types of Torah, like Dibur, but because it's more Nikar, it's more Choshev, but it's still a chefs of Talmud Torah when you're thinking about Talmud Torah. Okay, a few more other... Oh, yeah, go ahead.
So when we say that people read you and get an aliyah, so you sort of read it, does that have to do with this? That's a different...
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in 1 second. Yes, that's a very good question. I'm just going to put the air conditioning back on. Another very extreme formulation of Shitas Tosfos is there's a tzlach, the Noda Yehuda. The Magen Avraham says that, let's say there's a situation where you're not sure if you're chayiv in a bracha. Okay? I actually had a situation the other day. I washed, made hamotzi, and then I forgot and I made an alamichya instead of benching. So the suffik in the poskim, if alamichya counts as benching or if it doesn't count as benching. Vidyeved, you can't do it lechachila, or else no one would be benching. But vidyeved, if you make an alamichya, so does it count? So it's a question. So the poskim say that the best thing to do is if there's someone else who's benching, so you should listen to him benching and have in mind to be yotze in case you need it. And we do this all the time. Sometimes we're not sure if we need it, if we're chayv in a bracha, we're not sure if I had a shear. So we have someone else make a bracha for us. That's the suggestion of the Magen Avraham. Whenever you have a suffik, you should have someone else make and you listen. Says the tzlach. This is wild, but it's a real extreme formulation here of Tosfos. Says the tzlach, lefishitas Tosfos, that doesn't help. Because you're making a bracha levatala if you're not chayiv in the bracha. What do you mean? What's the reason I don't make the bracha myself? Because I might not be chayiv in a bracha, it's a bracha levatala. Says the tzlach, well, lefi tosfos, when you hear someone make a bracha, it's as if you're speaking. So it doesn't help to hear someone else make the bracha and to be yotzei with that, because it's as if you said the bracha, and you just made a bracha levatala if you're not chayiv in the bracha. Now that is a very extreme formulation of tosfos, that it's as if I said it ad kidei kach, that I get an aveira of having made a bracha levatala. How did I make a bracha levatala? I didn't say anything. So that's a very extreme formulation of how to understand Shomea Ka'ona. Another question that would be around this issue is, what about, is there an inyan lechatchila to say a bracha yourself? Or is it totally fine to rely on Shomea Ka'ona? So again, this is going to be a question. If you learn like Rashi, that you're yotze via shlichus, well, we have a general principle, mitzvah bo yotze b'shlucho. It's better to do a mitzvah yourself than to have a shliach do it for you, if you can. But if you learn Shomea Ka'ona, it means that it's as if you're actually saying it, so there's nothing wrong with it, right? You go to someone's house, and they always ask politely, would you like to make your own kiddush? And if you're a normal person, you say, like, no, it's okay, I'll be yotzei with you, right? You say, I'll be yotzei with you. But maybe you shouldn't. Maybe mitzvah bo yosef yimishlucho, maybe it's better for you to say it yourself. So if you learn like Rashi, that we're talking about shlichus, so then in a chanami, maybe you should say it yourself. Better to do something yourself than have a shliach do it for you. But if Shomea Ka'ona means it's as if I'm speaking, so then when he speaks and I listen, it's as if I'm speaking. There's no adifut. It's not better to do it yourself. You are doing it yourself when you hear someone. Okay. We're going to run out of time, so just with the 2 or 3 minutes that we have remaining, there is a sheet of the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi says regarding Birchas Kohanim, the Gemara in Sota Darshans, that it says Emor Lahem, that it needs to be done B'kol Ram, that the Kohanim, when they're Duchening, need to say the words out loud. So asks the Beis HaLevi, is it okay to have, you know, sometimes you go to a shul, there's like 10 people doing Birchas Kohanim, and everyone's singing their own tune, and this one's going faster than that one. Maybe it's just better to have one Kohen say Birchas Kohanim, all the other Kohanim will listen, Shomer Ka'on, it's as if they said it. Says the Beis HaLevi, that doesn't work. Why? Because the Gemara says Emor Lahem, it needs to be B'kol Ram. And Shomea Ka'ona might get you credit for having said it, but you don't fulfill Kol Ram, the requirement that it's said out loud. So the Chazon Ish and others ask, what is the Beis HaLevi talking about? If I'm Yotzei, so Lechora, I did it then. I'm Yotzei. He said it B'kol Ram, and he's being Motzi me. So the Achronim suggest, Kilos Yaakov, Minchas Asher has a piece on this, that Lechora, the Chazon Ish and the Beis HaLevi are arguing over the same machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. According to the Chazon Ish, we learn like Rashi. You're Yotzei. And therefore, when I'm quiet and I hear the Kohen duchening, I got credit for duchening. What's the problem? As long as he did it B'kol Ram, right? Duchening has certain tenaim, has certain conditions that need to be filled in order to be Yotzei. So one of them is it has to be said out loud. Okay, so if he's doing it out loud and I'm listening, I'm Yotzei, so it's as if I did it out loud. I'm Yotzei with him. But the Beis HaLevi who says, granted, when he speaks, you got credit for speaking, but you don't fulfill the Tanai of Kol Ram. So it sounds like he's having that the Beis HaLevi has a very specific understanding of Tosfos. That it's as if you speak, but it's only as if you spoke. You don't get the other conditions that are associated with what he did. So let me give you an example. Let's say we'll go back to the Kiddush example. Kiddush needs to be done a la kos. So when I make Kiddush and you're all over at my house and you hear me making Kiddush, how are you Yotzei with my Kiddush? You don't have a cup in front of you. Maybe you need to hold a cup. Because maybe my Kiddush only gives you the words of Kiddush. But it doesn't give you all the conditions. So maybe the only way you could be Yotzei with Shomei HaKohen is if you're also holding a cup. So let's say it out. If you learn like Rashi, so when I make Kiddush and you listen, it's like Shlichus, you're Yotze. So as long as I had a cup, you're Yotze. But within Tosfos, how do you understand Tosfos? Does Tosfos mean that you get my words, but you only get my words? That's what the Beis Halevi seems to understand. The Chazon Ish says, no. You get his words either because I hold like Rashi, or, that's not what Tosfos meant, you get the words, but you get the words within the context that they're done. So therefore, it's as if I'm saying Kiddush, alakos, so when you hear me and you're Yotze, it's as if you made Kiddush alakos. It's as if you said words alakos. And this comes up, Yoni asked about Kriyas HaTorah. When someone's laning and someone else gets an aliyah, really the person getting an aliyah is supposed to lane. But we have the Bal Korei be Motzihim. So there's a big shaila in halacha. Can a blind person, a summa, get an aliyah? Why? Because the halacha is that the kriya needs to be done mitoch haksav. You're not allowed, right? You know that if you're a shliach, if you're a Bal Korei, you can't do it by heart. You have to read the words inside. You have to be looking and reading the words inside. So when you get the aliyah, how important is it that you follow along? Or is it only important that he follows along? Well, if we're talking about Shomea Ka'ona, so if you learn like Rashi, so as long as he's following along, the Bal Korei, so then you get credit for what he did. So you're Yotze, and everything's fine. You weren't over on an Isser of reading Shalom and Aksav. But if you learn like the Beis Halevi, that you only get the words, well then, I don't need to speak because he's speaking. But now it's as if I'm reading. If I'm not following along in the text, I'm reading Shalom and Aksav. And sure enough, I believe it's the Yaivitz, the Rav Yaakov Emden, he writes in the Shuvah that a blind person cannot get an aliyah. Why? Because he certainly can't read by heart, because you have to follow along in the words. Even if the Bal Korei is reading for him, it doesn't matter that the Bal Korei can read the words. Because the person getting the aliyah needs to be reading the words. Because he's only getting the speech from the Bal Korei. But it's now as if I'm speaking. But I'm speaking Shalom and Aksav, because I can't see the words. So this is similar to the Beis HaLevi's understanding. Most poskim, I believe the Taz and Shulchan Aruch, most poskim do not learn like this. And they learn that when you're getting a aliyah, even if you don't follow along with the words, you're being Yotze and you get credit for having read from the words. So this might also be dependent on how do we understand Shomea Ka'ona. So what we emerge with, we're going to end with this, is that we have three different ways to look at Shomea Ka'ona. One way, it's like Shlichus. I get credit for the act that was done. Doesn't matter anything else. I get credit. Then we have two other ways to look at it. Both of those assume that it's as if I'm reading. But within that, we have a machlokas. Does it mean it's as if I'm reading? But along with that means all of the conditions that are done with the reading? If he read alakos, it's as if I read alakos. If he read mitoch haksav, it's as if I read mitoch haksav. If he spoke b'kol ram, it's as if I spoke b'kol ram. Or the more extreme formulation, I only get the words, but I don't get the side conditions. And therefore, when I'm listening, I would need to follow along in the words. When I'm saying Kiddush, I would need to be holding my own kos in order to be Yotze. And then by Birchas Kohanim, it wouldn't work. You wouldn't be able to be Yotze Birchas Kohanim by listening, because the requirement is to, even though you got the words, you don't get the fulfillment of B'kol Ram.